The following podcast is presented by the Society of American Magicians.
Now, here's the thing. I didn't know that that was the only copy of that film in existence in the entire world.
And it's going to change everybody's perception of Houdini. And there he is, back at the SAM. It gives me goosebumps.
Hi, I'm Bruce Calver, SAM president from 2008 to 2009. Welcome to the Backstage SAM podcast. On July 1st through 4th, 2015, the SAM will present its 87th annual convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It will be the fifth time the SAM has congregated in Philadelphia. SAM conventions are filled with surprises and once-in-a-lifetime moments. This year's convention is no exception. Let me tell you about a film we are showing at this year's gathering, which has a special place in the history of the SAM. Here's the plot of the film. A gang of men frame Harvey for murder. They kidnap his fiancée. He's imprisoned for the crime. Harvey figures out a way to escape and pursues the men who frame him. Sounds like a Tom Cruise film of today? Well, this 70-minute major motion picture was made in 1919 at a tremendous cost of $200,000. The film was The Grimm Game, and the star of the film was Harry Houdini, our past president. Turner Classic Movies purchased the film and restored it. It's a fascinating story of hoarding, preservation, and ultimately success. Before you see this film at the SAM convention in Philadelphia, I thought you'd like to hear a little of the backstory. Dorothy Dietrich and Dick Brooks own the Houdini Museum in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Here's their story.
Our whole life, we have known Larry Weeks, who is the collector who had that in his collection all these years.
We didn't always know he had it, but...
Well, we've known him our entire
life. As kids.
Now, when I was really just a teenager, he showed that film at some place, a library or somewhere in Manhattan, and I couldn't wait to go. And I saw it, and it was just great. But it was not on a big screen. It was like a, you know, a movie screen, like a slideshow screen. And he had the actual film reel that he changed the reels, you know. And I just thought that was the coolest thing because I had never even seen that, you know, anybody changing reels of movies. And I didn't forget it. It was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. And then many years later, he showed it again, which I don't remember where it was, but I had, he said he was going to be doing it again because I bugged him. I said, when are you going to do it again? When are you going to show it again? You have the film. Why don't you show it again?
And I think it was in a meeting room or in a church. We had the Magic Townhouse on the east side, and this was on Central Park West, like in the 70s, in a church or a meeting room that somehow he had, I don't know how he got to it, but we saw it there again. Same kind of situation, like a three-legged stand and a screen, and he projected it on the screen with actual film.
Dick and Dorothy knew Larry Weeks for a long time.
When we were kids, Larry Weeks did a one-day convention at the YMCA on 34th Street. And so we would go to these conventions.
Dorothy had no idea that seeing this film was a special treat.
Now, here's the thing. I didn't know that that was the only copy of that film in existence in the entire world. I just thought that was a film. I didn't know. And it wasn't until I found out that this was probably the only one in the world. So I searched my whole life to see if there was another one. And sure enough, the word is that nobody has seen it. Not only is that the only one, but very few people in the world have ever even seen it. So, because it wasn't like shown in the movie theaters, it was made in 1919.
So the general public has not seen the movie for some 96 years, and it's just a terrific film, and it's going to change everybody's perception of Houdini, and it is also going to give a whole new amount of people to see Houdini, and isn't it great that we're going to be showing it at the SAM convention? Is that unbelievable? Of which he was president for 9.5 years and is responsible for what the SAM is today. And there he is, back at the SAM. It gives me goosebumps.
July will mark the second time the SAM has screened this film.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the SAM did a screening of The Grimm Game in 1919. And at that time, Thurston gave a speech in which he pronounced the film, quote, one of the most wonderful things I have ever seen, and called it Houdini's greatest work.
Dorothy and Dick eventually figured out that this was the only copy of The Grimm Game in the world, and they were worried that it would be lost for posterity.
Larry was 95 years old, and he was still, in April of last year, still saying, I kind of like having the film. I don't know if I really am ready to get rid of it. And I said, Larry, what are you going to do? What do you want to happen to it if something should happen to you? Where do you want it to go? What do you want it? Why don't you do the right thing and let's put your name on it. Let's get it out there. And he was like, let me think about it.
Larry used to use the film to get people to come over his house. You know, he's getting older and I guess lonely. So that could be one of the reasons he didn't want to part with it.
Now entering the story is Rick Schmidlin, who's a film preservationist and silent film scholar and friend to Dick and Dorothy Dietrich. He produced such films as The Doors Live at the Hollywood Bowl and David Cronenberg's The Fly. He's very instrumental in re-editing and restoring Eric von Stroheim's Greed and Orson Welles' film Touch of Evil.
We know him for about 22 years, and his mother lives, and he was raised by almost a few miles from the Houdini Museum, and his mother was ill, so he would constantly, and very old, and he would constantly come to visit her. So this last time he came to visit her, he visited, as he often does, to the Houdini Museum to say hello. And we snuck into the other room, said, look around this room for a while, we'll see you in a minute. And we had a quick meeting, Dorothy and I, and said, we're going to pitch him with this movie to try to get this movie. And so when we told him about it, what happened, Dorothy?
Oh, he was elated. He thought, oh, man, whatever we have to do, we have to do it. We have to really convince this guy that he's got to let it go. Because here's the problem. Larry lived in a rent-controlled apartment. And you know for sure, as soon as he dies, the landlord is going to want to get all that junk, you know, who knows what's in there, everything out so they can renovate and raise the rent. So our greatest fear was that it would be lost forever, in laying in some dump somewhere that nobody would know what happened to it. So we said to Rick, as soon as you have it in your hands, call us. And he did. He called as soon as it left the apartment, and we just wept. We just cried. We said, we did it. We did it. And from then on, nothing else mattered. The fact that we got it and it was going to now be in good hands was such a thrill. I mean, I can't tell you. It takes me back.
Don't cry.
No, I'm not kidding. It's like, what could be better than that in life? You know, to honor Houdini is to get his stuff where the people can see it.
Larry Weeks was a tough negotiator. After all, he didn't even have cable television, didn't even know who Turner Classic Movies was. And the only thing that turned him around was the fact that Rick Schmidlin mentioned that Turner Classic Movies is a division of Warner Brothers. You see, Larry was in a Warner Brothers picture back in the 40s. The deal was made, and Rick could take the film. So did he hire a courier service or armed guards to pick up the film?
No, when Rick picked up the film, he was by himself. The main concern was, number one, to get the film, and number two, to see what we had. So yeah, he was by himself.
So where did he take the film?
So then it went to NYU film department to look at the film to see if it's complete. And then we found out it is complete. Now we realize that not only do we get this film from, you know, from Larry, but now it's going to be restored, and realized how terrific it was. They decided it needed to have an original score. So they hired a composer to do the arrangement, and it really makes it so much better.
Turner Classic Movies hired Brani Zivkovic, who is a composer from NYU. So with the restoration complete, what did Turner Classic Movies decide to do with this restored treasure?
But now TCM features it as the finale, at giving it a world premiere in Hollywood at the Egyptian Theater 89 years after Houdini died, to a sold-out theater.
When we return, Dorothy and Dick will talk about the world premiere that took 89 years to happen.
Backstage SAM is brought to you by the Society of American Magicians National Convention. This year's festivities take place in Philadelphia from July 1st to July 4th and include lectures, performances, dealers from around the world, and the camaraderie of magic enthusiasts. Exciting shows like The Heart and Soul of Magic, The Magic of Spain, and Miguel Puga's one-man show will be presented over the 4th of July week. Register early for best seats and pricing. For more information, visit the website at www.magicsam.com. Then click on the convention link.
And now back to our story. The Grimm Game is chosen as the finale for the Turner Classic Movie Film Festival in Hollywood, California. Now understand that the deal for the Grimm Game from Larry Weeks was made back in April of 2014. Unfortunately, Larry died October 13th, 2014. Turner Classic Films decided to have Dorothy Dietrich and Dick Brooks introduce the film and tell a little history about Houdini. So off they flew to Hollywood. Ironically, throughout their trip, it appeared as if Houdini was looking over their shoulder. Many coincidences relating to Houdini happened during this exciting excursion.
In Hollywood, it was a whirlwind of Houdini. When the first day we got in Hollywood was Houdini's birthday, March 24th. So you want to hear something cool and weird. Turner made the arrangements for our flight and our hotel. And we looked at the schedule, the flight schedule, and we had one stop. Guess where it was? Detroit, where Houdini died. So now we're in Detroit on the plane, and we're like, oh, this is sad, you know? We're going to visit where he died. And then we get to Hollywood, and of course, it was very late at night. We just called everybody and said, we're safe, we're here, and then set up a time to meet with John Cox from Wild About Harry, Wild About Houdini, and he took us on a very special trip all over Hollywood on Houdini's birthday, showing us all the different sites that had anything to do with Houdini. And we went to Laurel Canyon Estates there, and we met up with Patrick Kellerton.
Laurel Canyon is where they believe Houdini and his wife lived while he was filming some of his films in Hollywood.
So Patrick Kellerton met up with us there, and the property has been bought by a gentleman who has made that an amazing property. It was all run down for a lot of years, and this guy purchased it Jose Luis Navarre, and he's made it a beautiful, beautiful thing. Apparently, there is a spring that is a natural spring on the property, and he had someone engineer that water so that he's got fountains all over the place.
And a waterfall.
That are all self-propelled, you know. It's beautiful with markers of Houdini all over the place. He's got a large bust of Houdini that is a very, very large. I would say, what do you think, it's about 4 feet high?
Yeah,
it's very
huge.
Big. And then another life-size bronze of Houdini who is levitating. He's wrapped in chains, and the chains are hanging to the ground, and there's about, maybe 9 inches between Houdini and the floor. And with a plaque that says, "My brain is the key that sets me free," signed Houdini. Very cool. Really beautiful.
Dick and Dorothy are no strangers to doing something nice for people.
And as we're on the walk, I said, you know, Houdini deserves a proclamation. We should make Sunday Houdini's Day because his film is going to be shown on Sunday. We should see if we can get a proclamation. And John said, how do you get a proclamation? I said, you call the mayor's office. He said, I don't even know who that is. And I said, well, I think Google knows. So I called the mayor's office and they told me what to do. They said, I just have news for you. To get a proclamation, we have right now, I'm looking at the queue, there are 2,000 requests for proclamations.
And you're talking about movie stars, new movies coming out. All of these people are hankering for a proclamation. And it turns out, whoever we got on the phone, they knew who we were. They knew about Houdini. They knew Dorothy somehow. It was the strangest coincidence. And they said it takes 20 working days, in other words, a month. And somehow Houdini had our backs. And we got a proclamation calling it Houdini Day in Hollywood and Los Angeles with our name, Houdini's name, the Houdini Museum. It's just, Houdini just took us through the whole thing. It's amazing.
For this next ironic coincidence, it's important for you to know that the producer of The Grimm Game was Jesse Lasky. Dorothy and Dick wanted to stay a few extra days in Hollywood, so they searched for a place to stay.
And we went on the internet, and I found a place that was beautiful, a 5-room apartment, and I clicked on it, and I missed it. I didn't get that one. So then I looked to the next one. I don't know why I missed that one, darn it. And I got the next one, and that was a little closer. It wasn't quite where we wanted to be, I didn't think. When we get there, it is a beautiful, totally restored historic building.
From 1917, it was built by, guess who? Jesse Lasky and Samuel Goldwyn. And that is the company that made the film The Grimm Game. They built it for the players, the Lasky players, all the actors that were performing in their films.
And so they built this, and some of the people that stayed there included Laurel and Hardy, Charlie Chaplin, supposedly Charlie Chaplin at one time owned the building. Greta Garbo stayed there. Rudolph Valentino had a speakeasy in the basement of this building. And since it was 1917, and Houdini made these movies just in that period, and this is when they had to house people, everybody there, in historians believe it was a very good chance that Houdini slept in that house. Is that incredible?
So now it's March 29th, 2015, and Dick and Dorothy are at the Egyptian Theater getting ready to introduce Houdini.
We actually introduced two movies there. We were originally slated to introduce the Grimm Game, and then they added in the afternoon the Tony Curtis movie, which we all know and love. Everybody you know that's in magic, that's in our age or 10 or 20 years below or above, that's the movie that started it all for us, many of us at any rate. And we introduced that movie. Dorothy did a straitjacket escape with two security guards, and got a standing ovation at the end of it.
They also brought along a special coat that belonged to Houdini to do a special trick.
Mechanically marvelous system that he has that makes the card rise out of the pocket. So we demonstrated that with Mankiewicz. He picked the card, we put the deck in the bottom pocket backwards of the vest, and then that very same card purportedly rose out of the pocket, and the audience just loved it. It was amazing.
So what did the live audience think of Houdini?
Every time Houdini appears, there's like a gasp in the audience. Every time they start to tie him up, you can see the whole audience start to smile. You can feel it. And then after that happens a couple of times, when they bring out chains or a rope or a straitjacket,
when it looks like they're going to get him again, the audience laughs like, oh, I got to be kidding. Forget it. You're not going to get this guy. At the filming, at the screening, there was a live orchestra, and it was absolutely magnificent.
So after the screening, people were milling around, talking about it, introducing themselves to each other, and Dick and Dorothy met someone very special.
And at the end of the film, there were people in the front of the theater, gathering and congratulating Bronnie, they flew in to conduct the orchestra for the film. And so I went up to congratulate Bronnie and say hello to the folks that were there. And it turns out that Irvin Willett's family was there.
The director of the movie.
The guy that directed the film, his sons were there, and they thanked us upside and down and said, do you know that our father's collection of films, we don't have a single bit of it because it was all on the nitrate film and it was all taken away. And this was the biggest treasure that they have never seen.
The restoration was a success.
They cleaned a lot of it up. But at the end of the movie, you can see where it starts pretty heavy. And that, if you look at it, is very telling of how at the time that it was transferred, that's where the movie was about to die. We got the film restored, and now it was shown in March, but Larry died October 13th last year. So he didn't even get to see the film on the big screen in Hollywood. Everybody that loves Houdini should get to see it. And everybody that doesn't like Houdini
should get to see it
because they're going to have a different respect for Houdini just by watching it, because you can see more of his personality. You can see exactly what he was like. Now, the thing is, my personal goal is to get this film seen by as many people on a big screen, I mean a movie screen, in a theater with live audience, because there's nothing like it.
Dorothy Dietrich and Dick Brooks will be presenting The Grimm Game at the Society of American Magicians Convention in Philadelphia this summer. Well, that's our podcast for this time. I hope you get a chance to see The Grimm Game this summer at the SAM Convention in Philadelphia. It will be a moment that you will tell your friends about for years to come. We have a weekly trivia contest here. Every time you enter and you get a correct answer, your name will be placed in our top hat for a prize. What will you win? Well, something from the SAM gift shop. It could be a deck of cards, or a scarf, or a poster. You never know. Much like a magic show, it's a surprise. The name we pulled out of the hat this time is Alexander Perricone. Congratulations! We'll be contacting you soon, Alexander. Here is this week's question. Houdini had 6 brothers and 1 sister. Can you name his sister? If you know it, send your answer to trivia@magicsam.com. We thank you for spreading the word about this podcast. We appreciate your listening.
Backstage SAM is edited by G.B. Mack and recorded in the Top Hat Production Studio for the Society of American Magicians. I'm your announcer, Arlene Calver. Comments and ideas for future shows can be sent to bruce@magicsam.com. This podcast is copyright 2015 by the Society of American Magicians. Magic.